defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to get you into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. The biggest problem in our culture today among Christians, I don't think it's a problem, it's the problem, is that we have become biblically illiterate. We have Bibles in every color, shape, and size, but most of us are allowing our Bibles to gather dust. We ought to get in the habit of memorizing the Scriptures, meditating on the Scriptures, and then digging into the Word of God, because there is gathered gold in the Word of God. I was so delighted the other morning to see my son, who was going through a difficult circumstance early in the morning with his Bible, meditating on the book of Proverbs, and then as a result, using his meditation on the Word of God as the missing link between the intake of Scripture in an effective prayer life. And that's where we all need to be. We need to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. It will give us the power and passion to make a difference while there is yet time. It will sustain us when the winds of a doubt and fear beat upon our house. It is the words of God written for us. It is divine revelation. We can't understand the world and its circumstances on our own. To try to do so is like sitting in a dark room. Even if you have 20/20 eyesight, if you are in a totally dark room, you simply can't see. God has lightened the room through the power of revelation. And the quintessential form of that revelation is found in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In other words, in the immortal words of Scripture. So get into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you. There is no substitute for that basic. A lot of you hanging on. We will go right to our phone callers. First up, Leela. She's listening in Modesto, California on KCIV. Hi, Leela.
Hello, Brother Hank. Last year, my brother got me into a United Pentecostal church, and they told me that I had to be baptized in the name of Jesus only, because I had previously been baptized in the Trinity. And in Matthew 28, verse 20, it says that going to all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they said that that's wrong. They said that was changed by Martin Luther. Is that correct?
Well, no, it's not correct. The Bible was not changed by Martin Luther. The Bible was translated by Martin Luther, and the early Christians baptized in the name of God. Now, when they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptizing in the authority vested in the name of Jesus Christ. They weren't trying to conjure up some kind of a magic potion. You have to baptize by this formula, and if you don't, you're going to miss the mark. No, they were baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ because they believed in his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. So it was the power vested in the name of Jesus Christ, not a magic formula. But here's what the United Pentecostal Church does. They take a further step, and that's why I say error begets error and heresy begets heresy, because the belief that someone has to be baptized in the name of Jesus only leads them to say that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but rather they hold to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. So according to Oneness Pentecostalism, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan, polytheistic philosophy. According to the historic Christian church, it is God's revelation of himself to us in the pages of Scripture. And Oneness Pentecostalism really emerged within the confines of an Orthodox church and went heretical. So the history of Oneness Pentecostalism has been an absolute disaster. Now, we're not talking about Pentecostalism as in the Assemblies of God, but what emerged within that context, in fact, the Assemblies of God, a Pentecostal denomination, was on the vanguard of denouncing Oneness Pentecostalism as heresy.
Yeah, because you know what? They do all kinds of weird things. They want people to, as soon as they get baptized, they want them to go up and be able to, you know, to lay hands on them so they can speak in tongues. And my brother, he does, so speaking in tongues means you have to speak, by with your mouth. Because my brother, he stands up and he puts his hand by his ears and he just kind of shakes it. Is that considered speaking in tongues?
Well, it's their version of speaking in tongues. And tongues is a debatable issue within Christian circles. But here's the problem. Oneness Pentecostalism holds to a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including this, the very thing that you're talking about, the test of rebaptism by their formula with the evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And as you can imagine, this has placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on people to conjure up the gift of tongues by all kinds of weird and wacky procedures.
Yeah, and they said that women, they can't wear makeup or pants or, you know, color the hair or wear jewelry. Is that true?
No, none of that's true. It's a misreading of Scripture, and herein lies the point. They don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and as a result, they take texts out of context and use them as a pretext for their legalistic prescriptions. We are to be modest. We are not to attract attention to ourselves, but the notion of not being able to wear pants, for example, is completely preposterous. It is a complete misreading of the biblical text. And we can give you all kinds of data to demonstrate that from the Bible itself.
Yeah, in one of the, I don't know which book, I think it's in the Corinthians or something, I don't know, where it says that women can't dress like men. And I was told that because men in the Bible times, they used to gird up their skirts because men and women used to wear long gowns in that time. And the men used to gird up their loins, like when they would go out for battle. But the women never did that. In the Bible, it never spoke of women doing that. So that's why they said you can't wear pants.
Yeah, or again, a ridiculous prostitution of Scripture. I mean, there's a grain of truth there, and that is the kind of dress worn by men and women in that time was remarkably similar, but the whole issue by Paul is not that we cannot wear similar garb, it is that we cannot blur the distinction between the sexes.
Yeah, and my brother told me, he goes, if my pastor tells me not to come over to your house anymore, he goes, I will. And he doesn't want to come to my house anymore by himself, he always brings somebody from his church. And so this is a call. This is not good for him. And I'm trying to get him to understand this.
Yeah, you know what would be very helpful if you hang on? There's a lot of literature that we have written, including a great article in the Christian Research Journal that I think would be helpful to you.
Okay.
We'll just send it out
right
to you.
Right now, I started going to another church. It's called the Christian Reformed Church. Is that okay?
Well, the Christian Reformed Church is, by and large, thoroughly Orthodox. There are liberal branches of the Christian Reformed Church, but there are a lot of completely Orthodox versions of the Christian Reformed Church. In fact, it is the tradition that I grew up in, which came out of Holland, where I was born.
Oh, really? Yeah, because I've only been there 2 times, so I haven't really to understand that church and the teachings yet. But so far, the 2 times that I've been there, I liked it. So, you know, because it's the closest, I don't have transportation, it's the closest I have to where I can get to a church.
Yeah, I think you are well served to continue there and stay as far away as you can from the United Pentecostal Church. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk next to to Jeannie in Broken Bow, Nebraska. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Hank, I have a question. What do you think of blessing a new home when you move into it? My kids will be moving into a new home, and I know I didn't know if that was superstition or not to bless a home.
Yeah, it depends on how you do it. I mean, a lot of people do it in a very superstitious way, as though by anointing and putting oil on the walls and so forth, you're going to keep demons out and these kinds of things. And that is superstition. On the other hand, if you ask a pastor or you yourself with your husband and your family, ask the Lord to bless this house and use it as a haven for people, ask the Lord to use it as a sanctuary in which people can come to know Him and which we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's wonderful, because everything we have is a trust from God, and we hold what we have with an open hand, and we thank God for what He puts into that hand and what He takes out of that hand, and we see what He gives us as tools for our good and for the propagation of the gospel, for the good of others. So certainly it's wonderful to pray a blessing over the home, but not to imbibe in superstition as though demons can attach themselves to objects.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Holly, listening in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Holly.
Hi there. Have a question. I know you know all about the Worldwide Church of God, and then when it split off like with United and the Philadelphia Church?
Yeah.
Okay. I was a former Worldwide Church of God. Anyway, sadly, today we were at a funeral from a member at the Philadelphia Church. And the minister, out of respect, the kids let their dad's minister, you know, do the services. It was a graveside service. And he was just going on and on and on with scripture. And one of the children interrupted him and asked him if he was ever going to talk about his father. So anyway, it was kind of a really sad ordeal that I've never been encountered. But afterwards, I went up. The two children were up there talking to him, saying this is not what we wanted and stuff, and I just asked him if I could ask a question. I says, where does it teach that you disown your family? And he says, well, that's what scripture says. If you're not in their church, then you're not a part of their world, or, you know, the gist of it. But what scripture is he referring to?
Yeah, I mean, we are to forsake our mother and father and follow Jesus Christ, not in the sense that we do not honor our father or mother or love our father or mother. We're called to do that, but we love Christ above all other things, because He is the one who created us, He is the one who redeems us, and it is in Him that we can have genuine fellowship, not only with our Heavenly Father, but also genuine fellowship and relationship with our mother and father, whereby we can be empowered to honor and love and cherish them. So rather than seeing this as some kind of a dichotomy where we don't love our mother or father or honor them, the Bible teaches exactly the inverse. But look, the Philadelphia Church of God under Gerald Fleury is a full-blown cult, and the leader of the Worldwide Church of God, who succeeded Herbert W. Armstrong, was a man named Joseph Tkach.
Correct.
And he took the movement from cultism to Christ. And today, his son, who leads the Worldwide Church of God, although the names and a lot of things have been changed now, is a wonderful Christian brother who has given up on the cultic, legalistic teachings and heretical teachings, I might add, of the Philadelphia Church of God. And I was privileged to write the foreword to his book, Transformed by Truth, because he was transformed by the truth of the Scriptures rather than the prostitution of the Scriptures.
Correct. I've got that. That was awesome. But do you know what Scripture he's referring to?
Well, I don't know which specific scripture that he is referring to, but I think what I've characterized is accurate. I think he's taking the words of Jesus Christ that I just mentioned and prostituting them.
Was I out of line to ask him that?
No, I think that you should have asked him that, and I am sorry that you experienced what you experienced at a very difficult point in your life. Again, here's
closure. There was no closure to the funeral at all. It was really upsetting. It was sad.
Yeah, here's what you need to do. Hang on. I've got a couple of articles for you that might be very, very helpful in this regard, as well as a research letter on the particular verse brought up out of context by the Philadelphia Church of God at this difficult time in your life. We are coming up to a station break. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Rave reviews are coming in about Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book. Listen to what Dr. Ed Young, senior pastor of Houston's Second Baptist Church, said.
First of all, it's a great book for apologetics. You have so many people out here who are secular-minded, and they get confused about obvious things. They question the historicity of Scripture, inspiration, revelation, etc. And this is a wonderful book for apologetics. Number two, it is a pocket commentary. You not only answer these questions simply, but you have a footnote. In other words, I want to know more. Number three, it's a daily devotional book. I would recommend that someone would take one or two or three of these and read it as a devotional doctrinal study. And number four, it's a terrific book for discipleship. I have given this book to literally hundreds of people. This is really a beautiful, beautiful gift book.
Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with many answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI or order online in our secure website at www.equip.org. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions in the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org.
the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Share your Christmas stories, photos, and videos with us when you visit our special webpage at www.equip.org/heart of Christmas or our Bible Answer Man Facebook page and spread the joy of Emmanuel, God with us. Celebrate the birth of Christ like never before when you order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff, which also includes a solo classical guitar Christmas collection by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Get your Christmas shopping done early this year and make a difference for time and eternity when you get package discounts of 6 or 12 gift books. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much. And again, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available in audio book, 2 CDs, as well as in book form. It is beautiful in presentation. The content is rich, and you can use it as a manner by which you prepare your heart for Christmas in the same way that you prepare your home. Beginning December 1st, so order today. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Nellie in Washington, D.C. Hi, Nellie.
Hi. I'm interested in the ministry of Andrew Womack. I ran across him recently on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and he was teaching on homosexuality and the Bible and what it says about it. And it was one of the best messages I've ever heard on it. But then he talks about, in some of the testimonies and book that he sent me, he talks about praying in the Spirit to speak in tongues and to have authority to do certain things and healing, like Benny Hinn. He said studying or reading some of Benny Hinn's and Kenneth Copeland's information, he got enlightened to the to all of these things, like tongues and authority to do things like Jesus. And
yeah, and as a result of it,
I'm just concerned.
Yeah, you should be concerned, because as a result of it, he is teaching all kinds of very deflective teachings from a biblical perspective. For example, he says it's never God's will for us to be sick. He wants every person healed every time. He says the Lord never...
He even claims he brought his son back to life.
Yeah, well, he is a fabricator.
Oh, okay.
You know, he said the Lord never told us to pray for the sick in the sense that we ask him to heal them. He told us to heal the sick, and Jesus told us to heal the sick, not to pray for the sick. But if you look at the Bible in totality, you find out just how absurd that notion is. Jesus never made any prohibition against praying for the sick. And James tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is anyone sick among you? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
He uses the words like praying in the Spirit to give him the authority, and he uses the authority like one of his testimonies talks about, I used my authority over our finances. That's one of his people that listen to him.
Yeah, well, again, his basic message is that if you are able to exercise the force of faith. You can have unlimited wealth and unlimited health. And the truth is, we live in a fallen world. We live in a cursed creation. And that curse is going to persist until Jesus Christ returns and puts all things to right. In the meantime, we all get sick, and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person, and every one of us is going to make it. So there's no panacea. What we have in Christianity is peace in the midst of life storms.
What about his college in Colorado Springs?
Well, you can see the fruit of his teaching permeating virtually everything that he does. And he has a complete false premise with respect to the meaning of faith. And that
because he sent me this book. It says, The Believer's Authority, What You Didn't Learn in Church. And then on the back in the review, it says, True Spiritual Authority Revealed.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I have written about the Womacks of the world in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We could talk next to John, listening on the web in South Haven, Mississippi.
Hi, Hank.
Hi, John.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've had several conversations lately about, there's a new movie coming out called 2012, where they're talking about the main calendar system's ending and the end of the world's coming, and it's kind of the same conversations I had back when it was 1999, getting ready to change over to 2000, and this one guy I talked to recently, he's like, I'm out buying water and batteries and stuff. And I'm like, you know, from my study of the Bible, I'm not going to believe it because the Bible says nothing about it. Now, when this movie actually comes out in a couple weeks, I figure it's going to cause more panic. And I'm just wondering, you know, where can we scripturally go to talk to people about it?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think we have Apocalypse Incorporated, and we have people all the time suggesting that they know when the end is going to come, when the apocalypse is going to begin, and so forth. Even people predicting that they know when Jesus Christ is going to return. And it is more than unfortunate that they're now using the Mayan calendar as the basis for their prediction. And this is the kind of sophistry and sensationalism, the script torture that is being used by quote-unquote Christian teachers like Jack Van Impe. And they now have found their new date. And we have short memories. We forget about the year 2000. Everybody was using Y2K as the pretext for saying that the end was right around the corner. In fact, you had Christian teachers like Tim LaHaye saying that this would be the catalyst that Antichrist would use to form a one-world government and one-world currency. But again, it was based on sophistry and sensationalism and selling. No doubt the same thing that happened in 2000 is going to happen near 2012. People are going to buy their generators and their freeze-dried food and move out into the country, again, because they haven't learned to read the Bible for all it's worth. The prologue to your question was absolutely spot on. We do not know when the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will occur. The only thing we know is that we are to be faithful and fruitful. We are to bear abundant, abiding fruit, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And we are not to gain attention by vain superstition or speculations, as these prophecy buffs have. And again, they bank on the fact that you have a short memory. And the short memory means that you've already forgotten about 2000, and now 12 years later, when 2012 approaches, we can have a new date on the horizon, and we can prostitute that and milk it for all it's worth, because as soon as the unfailed promises don't materialize, people will quickly forget about it, and we can set the next date, which will probably be 2020. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. Adding to it is, you got a lot of different evangelists and preachers and stuff. You know, they're giving their idea of what they think, you know, revelation and their meaning of it. And that's the problem I'm having with the church that I've been going to for a while. They just had a class on Revelations, and you know, he kept saying, this is what I believe, this is what I believe. And I'm thinking, you're not supposed to be telling us what you believe. You're supposed to tell us what the Bible says is going to happen.
Yeah, or teach people how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I mean, if you look at my book, The Apocalypse Code, which really deals with the book of Revelation, it is giving you the code for Revelation. And the code for Revelation is found in the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, Revelation is 404 verses, 278 are allusions to Old Testament passages. So if you don't have a firm grasp of the Old Testament, you have no hope whatsoever of understanding the book of Revelation. So I would say exactly what you've just said. I would underscore the fact that we need to be involved not in superstition and speculation and selling and the torture of Scripture. We need to be involved in teaching people how to read the Bible for all it's worth, because then we can glean the riches of the book of Revelation, which is not nearly as mysterious as people make it. If you have a grasp of the Old Testament, you can understand the book of Revelation. I've depicted that, defined that, underlined that, underscored that in my book, The Apocalypse Code, which at the end of the day teaches people to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Yeah, I just picked that book up about 30 way through it. If it wasn't for the fact I had to go to work, I'd still be reading it right now.
Well, I'm glad you're reading it.
All right, thank you very much.
You got it. And again, the Mayan calendar, we're producing all kinds of literature on that because it's going to be the next big thing, and that literature will be available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll present it in various forums, the newsletter, the Christian Research Journal. And that leads me to say, if you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you're going to miss out, because the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine, rich in content and absolutely exquisite in terms of presentation. Order the Christian Research Journal today. Subscribe. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And think about the fact that we're heading towards the holiday season, a season in which, as Christians, we remember the birth of Jesus Christ, Christ coming in flesh. What an incredible gift God gave to us. Jesus Christ came, invaded time and space, lived the perfect life that we could never live, and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. And now you have the opportunity, you who have received that gift, to give a gift to others, to equip others to grow in grace and knowledge, to be able to defend the faith, all of which is found in this great equipping tool, the Christian Research Journal. If you haven't seen it, take an opportunity to look at it today. You can see it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also, of course, order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Just enough time before we go to break to invite you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. We need people to stand with us every single month. As my way of saying thank you, we have a doctrines flip chart. It entails the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood, from the deity of Jesus Christ to the certainty that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. These are the very doctrines to which you as a Christian have given your life. In the flip chart, not only gives you the essential Christian doctrine, but also why we believe in these essential Christian doctrines. Why do we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is God. Not only that, but Christ's credentials back up those confirmations, and Christ himself said that he was God. All of that available right now.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, and extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI.
Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Believe it or not, even Santa can be saved. Far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus in reality is an anglicized form of the Dutch name Sinterklaas, which in turn is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century. According to tradition, St. Nick not only lavished gifts on needy children, but also valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.
Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Bible Answer Man is here to stand for truth and help Christians understand and contend for the historic Christian faith. Many of our valued listeners and Christian leaders have encouraged us in our mission.
This is Carl Amari, producer of the Word of Promise Audio Bible. Hank Hanegraaff and his team have been an incredible source of support for me and the entire Word of Promise staff. Not only has Hank embraced my vision for the Word of Promise, but he's also embraced my team through prayer and encouragement to stand strong in our call to minister to the lost and hurting. His unfailing enthusiasm for the Word of God and its life-changing power encourages and promotes the same in those of us who wish to bring God's Word front and center in the eyes of the world. Hank's desire to reach out to those in spiritual need resonates with my own spirit. His uncompromising message of faith has been and continues to be a lifeline for thousands and a beacon of light to a darkened world.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to fulfill the unique and vital ministry that the Christian Research Institute does daily. So we're asking for your fervent prayers and financial participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowships, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274. or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, receive Hank's Essential Christian Doctrine Flip Chart as our gift to you. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
As you might imagine, the recession has taken a huge toll on the ministry of the Christian Research Institute this year. And so if you have some of the Lord's money and can stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. You can support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Whatever you can do would be gratefully appreciated and put to use for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Billy. He's listening at WTRU in High Point, North Carolina. Hi, Billy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Yes. I have several questions, but one is Romans 9, this thing about God's choice, not mine. Yet I know that I have got to, my fear of this, my long-term fear of this, I'm 42 and I've been in the Bible for 21 years now, and I've given up on it, put it on the shelf, and went and got drunk. And I'm tired of that now. I'm done with it. I'm done with that. I want the answer. I know that the majority of the scripture, love you, turn, come back to me, repent. I know that. So this, what I'm fearing in Romans chapter 9, for me, has got to be a misunderstanding of the English text, the way it's laid out. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll harden who I'll harden. The potter makes, by his own choice, he makes two different pieces of clay out of the same lump. And now I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to know the truth, not what looks good and smells good and all that stuff. I want to know the truth. And
yeah, well, the truth is that you need to read the Bible for all it's worth, and you want to read Romans chapter 9 in the way in which Paul intended you to read Romans chapter 9, which is to say that he quotes from the Old Testament, and he doesn't quote the entirety of the Old Testament. He assumes that you are familiar with the passage. So, for example, when he talks about the potter and the clay, he's referencing Jeremiah chapter 18 and Isaiah 29. It would be good for you to go back and read those passages, and you will see that vessels are prepared for ignoble purposes because they respond in rebellion and disobedience, and vessels are made for noble purposes because they respond in obedience and repentance.
You.
And so if you respond to the Spirit of God, God will save you. He will redeem you. He is not willing that any be cast away. God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. These are the very words of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then Peter tells us the Lord is not wanting anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. And then John says Christ died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Whoever will turn to Jesus Christ, realize they're a sinner, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He will not turn away.
Okay, so that kind of, all right, how about Hebrews 6:4, the impossible statement?
Yeah, well, I think Hebrews is another classic example. You've got to read Hebrews within its intended context. And Hebrews, of course, first of all, is written to Hebrews. So it's written to Jewish people who have heard the truth, but they have fallen back into legalism. And therefore, it is not a genuine believer that's in view in Hebrews, but it's rather a professor, not a possessor, but a professor. Those who hear of the word, they respond to the word, but then deny the word because their faith was not real. So to fall away in Hebrews chapter 6 refers to a Jew
who falls back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which was already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it refers to a professing Christian whose apostasy demonstrates that their faith was not real.
Okay, so it's a person throughout Hebrews, he's warning, don't trust yourself, don't trust obedience to the law. In other words, don't trust your trust, but trust Jesus and his sacrifice to save you. But don't trust your obedience to the law to save you, because it won't.
Yes, exactly. You're not saved by the law. You're saved by a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of your own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. In fact, the law ultimately is the schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ. When we see the law, we see a barrier that we cannot circumnavigate. We can't jump that barrier. It's just too high.
Absolutely.
And so that drives us to Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life in our place and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Or he variously says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? When you received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And that is a sacred trust. It's a seal. You have been purchased by God, as Peter says, with precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish. You were purchased by Jesus Christ. So when you have become a new creation, you are not only justified by Jesus Christ, but the overcomer lives within you, and he sanctifies you. He daily conforms you to the image of Jesus Christ. So the very one who saves you is also the one who sanctifies you.
Does this mean that when I accepted Jesus at 7 years old, I heard a man speaking, he died because of the wrongs that I had done, and I responded at seven out of duty. I thought, this man did this for me. I owe him something. I don't know what it is, but I will at least go this far. I went to the front and I said, Jesus, I don't, at seven or eight, I don't know what I owe you, but, and then all of a sudden I had. And I'm not into emotionalism and sensationalism. I think that's obviously fleshly and wrong, and it distracts from the truth. But I experienced something physical, and it surprised me. But it didn't. Looking back on it, I realized it didn't scare me. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit has been with me and maybe even sealed me at 7 years old?
Well, I can't interpret an experience that you had at 7 years old. What I can tell you is that if you believe today that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you realize that you're a sinner, if you repent of your sins, then whether that conversion took place when you were 7 years old or somewhere else along the path of your life, I can tell you on the basis of the Word of God that you are His and He is yours. And the operative passage is found in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. So you're saved by God's grace alone, on account of Christ alone, through faith alone.
That's about as clear as I've ever heard it put.
Well, he saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. And the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Not might have or could have, but have life in his name.
Yeah, it's a present tense thing, I've noticed. Yeah. You know, I have struggled with this, like I said, for years. I've lived in fear of one or the other. Most parts of the scripture were beautiful and encouraging, and I even read the Old Testament prophets where they're quoting God, and he is. I can hear the pain in God's voice. Please come back to me. I can hear that.
Yeah.
And
well, here's what you need to realize. I mean, I need to ask you just specifically: do you realize you're a sinner?
Absolutely.
Have you repented of your sin?
Yes, I will not practice things.
Okay, but what I mean is. A U-turn
turned away from them?
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm not practicing them. I absolutely will not do it.
Yeah, and again, let me say something to you. You need to be very careful about this because the operative word is willing. Are you willing to turn from your sins and embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? And the reason I underscore that for you, Billy, is because I want you to recognize that all of the rooms in your home are not swept clean. To use that metaphor, that's true of you and it's true of me. So we have to be patient. God's not done with us yet. He's still working within us to change us and conform us to the image of Christ. So the real issue is, are you willing to turn from your sin and embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you are willing to do that, if you have done that, you've said, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, not the dictates of my own will. And if you have reached out the hand of a beggar and received the gift of a king, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are his and he is yours.
Well, that I qualify for that because yes, absolutely.
Well, you are a brother in Christ, and the Christ that is within you is sanctifying you. So it's not as though you have to scrub yourself up outside of the shower. Get in the shower. The Holy Spirit is cleaning you from the inside out.
Wonderful. Let me ask you, do you know of any, is there any kind of network I could find out what kind of church I could go to around here in High Point, North Carolina? Because everywhere I go, there's sensationalism and emotionalism, or it's dry as a bone.
Yeah. Well, we can help you with that. Hang on.
Okay. Thank you so much, Hank. Bye-bye.
Hey, you got it, Billy. Thank you for your call. And I remind you as I close this broadcast, the words of John, I write these things to you who believe in the name of Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is ours. It can become more real to you than the very flesh upon your bones. And again, it is by realizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then you are covered by his righteousness. It's not that you are without sin. As Luther correctly said, we're like snow-covered dung. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are yet sinners. And we can take heart because the one who justifies us is also changing us day by day as we allow his Spirit to work in our lives as we are conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Wish I could have taken more calls. We'll talk to you next time right here on the broadcast and take more of your questions. So long for now.
Hank Hanegraaff, Chuck Colson, and William Lane Craig headline a host of the nation's top speakers and leaders at the National Conference on Christian Apologetics in Charlotte, North Carolina, November 13th and 14th. Thousands gather from around the nation and world to learn how to defend their faith and equip their congregations. The conference also includes a debate between Dinesh D'Souza and the atheist Christopher Hitchens and a special youth apologetics tract too. For more details, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.